Welcome to Fringe Power, Local 107.3 FM's Summer 2013 series spotlighting New Brunswick's inaugural Fundy Fringe Festival on the FM dial. Taking place from August 21st to 25th right here in St. John, the Fundy Fringe Festival joins 23 other Canadian Association of Fringe Festival member communities in bringing uncensored, non-juried, audience-accessible, and 100% artist-driven theater to their hometowns. That means the performance gloves are off, anything goes, and Fringe Power will be bringing you a selection of spotlights, interviews, media, and more from some of the folks you will be encountering this August 21st to 25th. Please visit FundyFringeFestival.com for more information on how to attend or get involved. Find Fringe Power broadcast weekly Mondays at 6 p.m., Thursdays at 7 p.m., and Sundays at 1 p.m. right here on Local 107.3 FM and online at localfm.ca. And don't forget to find Fringe Power on Facebook for podcasts, updates, and much more. I'm your host, Judd Crandall. On this, our second episode, we bring you conversations with Alain LaFrance of Montreal's Don't Panic Theatre Company and Toronto-based playwright Labe Kagan. But first, we sit down with odd couple Evan McKay and Sean Patterson of Word of Mouth Theatre Company to discuss bringing the debut of their production Father Hero Traitor's Son to Fundy Fringe Festival. Pardon, if you will, the soothing sounds of construction outside our studio on the UNBSJ campus. Father Hero Traitor's Son sounds like a fairly intense piece of theater that you're going to be bringing to the show with a fairly brutal actual history attached as well, you know, from the original idea. Tell us a bit about like the creative genesis of the play and maybe also give an idea of what audiences can expect when they see the piece in performance.
Well, I've been really surprised as I'm rewriting it that it was based very, I was trying to base it very closely on the history. My friend's ancestors, Japanese Canadians, and I was worried about there's so many ways to go wrong when you're telling that story. Then I found I wanted a cast of four. I wanted two of them to be Japanese Canadian characters, and I thought, well, I can't do that anymore. I'm going to town. I had to come back town earlier than expected from Toronto, So yeah, it's actually it's going really well with the two of us doing it with a made-up country. And that makes more room, I think, for humor that I wasn't sure I'd be able to fit in. When you're talking about, can you forgive somebody who tortured people to death? That's, especially when they're talking about real people and you can look them up. Now that it's I'm making it fictional, it gives us more leeway to ham it up a little bit to take away from some of the dreadful attention.
Or why is that? Why do you think that having that sort of a comedic element or being able to just step back a little bit from reality, why does that let you get into the sort of meat of the play that much more?
It's needed because you can't just keep shoving in the audience's face, you're a bad man and you have to be punished, and no, I'm not, give me a break. You can't really stretch that out so long. And so, as will happen in a conversation between father and son, there can be a lot of screaming, and then there's, you know, you step back and let each other breathe. Because otherwise, why would they even be having a conversation if there wasn't some sort of affection or respect or sympathy?
If there wasn't something keeping them in the conversation, they wouldn't talk.
Yeah.
They would just walk away from each other. I think because of the character.
Or kill each other.
Or kill each other, yes. I think, also, I was mentioning to Evan, the character of the son is going through so much emotionally that you can be, you know, totally depressed one second and then totally loopy the next, and kind of, you know, that kind of helps out insanity in a way of having a laugh, making yourself laugh, or, you know.
To give you an idea of the kind of comedy we're working with here, the opening line of the play is, you have been condemned to hang by the neck for crimes against humanity.
Which is always funny.
So yeah, it's a good, you can really build up from that to some pretty good comedy.
Yes.
Maybe for audiences who you know, are obviously going to be new to this, like what is, in a brief synopsis, what is the play about?
It is based on actual people, but it's been fictionalized. But an immigrant came to Canada a century ago, and much more than a century ago. And he, being from another country. He wasn't allowed to vote, but he fought in the First War, was a decorated war hero. He had a son who grew up and went back to the old country for education, and then the Second War broke out, and he got recruited and fought for the enemy side when the two countries are now at war. And he was an interpreter. He got out of hand in his interrogations and beat some people till they died. And he is, I believe, unique in Canadian history for having been executed for treason. And so I thought, what would happen if this father and this son got together and talked about their differences? And
the father had passed away before before the son had joined the army.
That's right. In the historic case, the father died when his son was a child. And then he went back to Japan. I thought, how can he have this conversation? Well, the father appears in the jail cell, and I didn't know how to make that happen, but I realized, of course, maybe the son is hallucinating, or maybe it's a ghost, and we don't really have to define what that is, but yeah. That's what's happening.
Well, and considering sort of the politics and the familial politics of the play, would you guys say have your own family relations informed this at all, and how would you say they have if that's the case? And also too, from reading, you guys have been friends going back to childhood. That must also, just that proximity and that closeness. How do all of your personal sort of relations inform presenting this drama?
Well, let me just say to start that I was really lucky to work with Sean, because I've known this guy since before the turn of the century. And I had been thinking up until quite recently that I was going to work with Asian actors in Toronto and bring them here. And that didn't work out. And my brother kept saying, well, what about Sean? Come on, go with Sean. And I thought, well, he's not that Japanese, but totally rewrote things. Anyway, we sat down and just immediately, yeah, this is going to work. We know what to expect each other. Sean was in my first feature length play. When was that? 95.
20 years ago, probably, yeah, cool. I think.
And
full circle.
Yeah. And so we're back.
Yeah.
So that part is great. And we work well together. We're happy about that.
And my complete availability helps.
That's
well.
Also good. Yes.
Tandy.
Yes. When you have not much to do during your time on.
We can go on about how much time we have available, but let's use our time. But from my side of things, actually, Sean and I have something in common. We both have fathers. And so we're both using that. We're both drawing on that material. Sure. I don't think you'd have to be a psychoanalyst to realize that maybe I'm thinking about my relationship with my father in telling this story. The difference is that I have no military background at all, and my crimes have not been against humanity so much. But of course, fathers and sons disagree and about lots of stuff, and you can get past that, but not everyone does. And this play is playing with the tensions of, will they get past it?
And as for acting wise, as me, I mean, obviously I will. Everybody has problems with their family at some point in their life, and you know, everyone loves their fathers, their mothers, but you all have difficulties. So, as an actor, I'm definitely going to be. I will definitely bring some of my problems I've had over the years and difficulties into it as well. So
we sort of both gravitated towards the roles that we are going with. So I'm going to be the father, even though there are only 3 years difference between us.
I was 10 years younger than him.
That's what it is. And he's immature. So,
yes.
And this is great for me because he gets much more lines than I do. The father doesn't talk a lot, so that I'm happy with that. But for some reason that we just both gravitated to those roles.
How does it feel bringing this play back, in your case, coming back from Toronto to perform the play here? How does it feel bringing it back and bringing this sort of Spartan version of it back for performance?
It's getting better and better all the time as we go through the process. And at first it was going to be really complicated. And I was trying to think, if I find this cast of four, how will I transport them to New Brunswick where they stay? Because I'm still, right now, I'm rewriting the play in my head.
In some sense, the play is...
I'm still converting it.
Really?
I'm still converting it from... I'm taking out the names of historic people and places, and so there are still some shifts to be made.
Cool.
So last year, I did a play at the Toronto Fringe with my brother, and that... became very elaborate, and my idea of a fringe show is stripped down, and that we had dozens of sound cues and lighting and live music and recorded music, fight scene, song. It was great, but it was really complicated, and this one is going to be two guys in an audience, and because it's about the emotions, it's not about the sparkle and glitz so much. Although that will come afterwards.
Yes.
When we're famous.
Yes.
That was Evan McKay and Sean Patterson of Word of Mouth Theatre Company, who debut their production Father Hero Traitor's Son at the upcoming Fundy Fringe Festival. Stay tuned for the second half of our conversation later in the show. Here now is an excerpt from the production featuring a conversation between father and son as the son awaits trial for war crimes in a prison cell somewhere in the fictional country of Ozerland.
You left the church.
What gives me away?
How could you abandon your faith?
My faith? What are you talking about? You never believed any of that. You told me you left your fate in the trenches between the bodies of your fallen brothers.
It's not about fate, it's about remembering. It is more important to remember the words than to believe they are historically true.
That's new.
Do you remember the prayer?
What prayer?
Don't pretend.
I don't remember it.
Try.
I'm not sure.
Go ahead.
I'll get it wrong.
It's okay.
How does it start?
You know.
I don't remember.
Pray!
Zanulga taka norhaja. Zanulga taka norhaja.
Keep going.
I forget the...
You're doing a good job. Continue.
No, I can't finish it. I just can't remember the name of that prophet.
Hmm?
The prophet. Zama something something.
Who?
The one who heard the divine song and saw the star descend between the holy mountains.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know. Zanulgatakahaja. What's his name? Husha ibn blah blah blah.
Yeah, it's not important.
What?
You can skip that part. Just say, what's his name, and keep going.
How can it not be important? You made me recite that play 100 times a day, so I would never forget a syllable.
So why don't you remember it?
Why don't you remember it? You don't know. You've forgotten the prayer. You told me no decent man would ever forget.
What do you expect? I've been dead for 20 years.
Thank you.
That was Montreal's The Kingpins with a title track from their 1996 Stomp Records debut, Watch Your Back. Sage advice, perhaps, for fellow Montrealers in the Don't Panic Theatre Company, who are bringing something of a dog-eat-dog production to town. Don't Panic Theatre Company is a new group made up of Fringe pros, having been performers, staff, and more in previous years of Montreal's Fringe Festival. Bringing a collectively diverse background to bear, St. John audiences will have the opportunity to take in Don't Panic's debut production, Flip It, at our Fundy Fringe Festival. I spoke with Alain LaFrance about the competition they are staging, which he calls a bit of everything mixed in with a love of watermelons and general madness. Don't Panic is a relatively new theater troupe from what you've been telling me, and this is your first production, and you're bringing it out of town to the Fundy Fringe Festival. How does that feel, bringing that production to an out-of-town crowd?
I think it's equal parts terrifying and exciting. mostly on the exciting side, because we're trying something entirely new, and we're not testing it out here before. We're just taking it out on the road and testing it to a whole new public. So, you know, it's a bigger challenge for us to not be doing it directly in front of our friends and family, who might just be like, oh yeah, it was great. We get to actually try it with an audience who might be ruthless. Who knows?
Well, hopefully not too ruthless.
I hope not.
Well, tell us a bit about the production, or without giving away too much, of course, but what's the show all about?
I can tell you it's a show like no other show.
Okay.
In that it's a competition between four people on stage that also involves the audience in some ways that I can't get into.
Oh, okay.
But it's part theater, part dance, part storytelling, part a lot of things. Part sport, really.
Part sport?
Yeah.
That sounds intriguing.
And it involves challenges that may gross you out, may make you laugh, probably won't make you cry, but they might if we refer to something that traumatized you as a child. Hopefully we don't.
There you go. Well, and on that note too, you all come from quite a range of backgrounds. You mentioned when we were corresponding before, there's a dance background with some of the troupe, there's academic backgrounds, children's theater, comedy, and storytelling. How does that affect the choice of material or how the group interacts?
We're all very open to different things, and we all want to try different mediums. So it's actually been great to work together and try to come up with new things for all of us to do. I, for one, have no skills in dance whatsoever, but my complete lack of skills in dance may have to be used to my advantage to try to win this show every night.
Wow.
So it's been great to try out different things and just experiment and work off of each other.
Yeah, the competition nature of this show sounds very interesting. So is it a case where one of you or an audience member is going to have to come through and win through this performance at every show?
At the end of every show, yeah, one of us on stage will win, and the audience gets to really pick who they want to root for and who they want to support. So in a way, the audience wins as well. Hopefully they win regardless of who wins, just by attending the show.
But is there a prize for one of you as the winner, or just the satisfaction?
Mostly bragging rights.
There you go.
And the ability to go into the next one knowing that you've already won it at least once.
Very
I mean, we only get to do this show five times, so who knows? One of us might not win at all.
Whoa.
Ever.
Uh-oh.
That would ruin the dynamic entirely between us.
Well, you guys have all worked together before coming together as a group. How did the group come together?
Well, this year we're all staff members at the Montreal Fringe. I'm the GM of the Fringe.
Okay.
And Stephanie, our dance member, she's the artist liaison, and Sophie and Cam were our communications team. So we all just we're in the same office for the past 4 months. So it's just from us talking, bouncing ideas off each other, and just saying, hey, why not actually do a show together instead of doing all these different shows apart?
Wild. Was there a particular common ground that led to the, you know, wanting to combine your forces, or it just sort of...
The desire to go out east, actually.
Very good. Cool, man.
Steph's got a residency in Nova Scotia, I believe, the week before we're out in New Brunswick. I've wanted to go to the Maritimes since I was a little boy, because my dad used to go out to the Sussex Hot Air Balloon Festival.
And
we were just like, oh, hey, maybe we could get into this fringe. Let's come up with something and apply for this lottery.
Excellent. Well, and this is, considering this is at least New Brunswick and St. John's first fringe festival, and obviously you guys all have a lot of experience with fringe in the past. What are your reflections on the sort of fringe festival experience for people who are coming to this new?
I think the fringe is hands down my favorite thing in the world.
that's pretty good.
I love that it's kind of a gamble, but it's also kind of not, like, because all the shows are drawn completely, like, at random, right? By lottery, you never really know what you're going to get. So you might get some great shows or some awful shows. But generally, a lot of the people that apply are people who have been working on a show for a long time and just are looking for a place where they can put it up. So you get a lot of really great, unique work that comes out of the fringe, and that's what's most exciting about it for me. I think most of my highlights have been as audience members, really.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, 2 years ago, I just went to the Montreal Fringe and the Victoria Fringe as a reviewer. So I just saw a ton of shows and then hung out with a bunch of people. And it's always great, no matter how many different shows you see and artists you meet, it's always exciting to hear about the process between behind their particular show on any given year. And I think all of my favorite experiences have just been like talking, just sitting around and talking about the fringe as a whole and the circuit and like people's different pieces and the changes in theater in the recent years. It's great. Fringe itself is a community, a movement of sorts, even. Cool.
Is there a certain piece that you've had the chance to see over the years that has really stuck with you or really impressed you for some reason that you could tell us about?
Yeah, there's a show called Little Orange Man that I first saw in BC 2 years ago and have seen 4 times since. It finally came to Montreal this year. But it's a one-woman show about a girl in her... Well, she's about 12 years old, I think. You know?
Okay.
And she hangs out with kindergarten kids and gets into their dreams, and she tells them old Danish folk tales that were like the inspirations behind a lot of the fairy tales of today.
Okay.
And it's an incredible, like, for a one woman show, it's mind blowing. It's got crazy puppetry in it. The whole show fits in like a suitcase and a half, but it takes up an entire stage. Part of the puppetry is based on vegetables. It's beautiful. It makes me cry every time I see it. It's hilarious and it makes me cry. So I think it's pretty much a flawless piece.
Do you want to say anything to the St. John audiences?
I think that your first fringe is a great opportunity to take a chance and see as much as many different shows as you can. And the Fundy Fringe is a relatively small one where you could do that. So my message to everyone is please come see everything. Come see our show, but also see everybody else's. Just try to cram it as much as you can. You won't regret it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking a few minutes here with us today.
My pleasure.
All right.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we'll see you in August at the Fundy Fringe Festival.
All righty.
Thanks a lot, Al.
No problem.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You just heard a conversation with Don't Panic Theater Company's Alain LaFrance, who's bringing their debut production, Flip It, to the Fundy Fringe Festival this August 21st to 25th. If you want to get involved, billet performers, volunteer, or just want ticket and scheduling info, please visit FundyFringeFestival.com. For podcasts and more of this program, find Fringe Power on local 107.3 FM and on Facebook. Let's check in with our next guest, Toronto's Lloyd Kagan, who has penned A Lesson in Gabby, which is being performed at the Fundy Fringe Festival. Your work reflects both of a Jewish and urban experiences, and in some of the bio information that you folks sent me, Pacino's role in the production of American Buffalo is especially important. What was it about this performance or this production that resonated with you so much?
I remember the evening very well. I had a chance to see Al Pacino and we flew to the tickets. I was there with my wife, and we wound up getting... I wasn't a fan of anything at the time. I didn't know much about theater. And we got tickets for that date. There was a cancellation. It was a little tiny theater, and Pacino comes out, and he screams out, comes on stage with his, and says, "Fucking Ruthie, fucking Ruthie, fucking Ruthie, fucking Ruthie." And I said, "Well, I could say that." And I bought the book, and that night I went home and I said, "Fucking Ruthie" a dozen times. You know, and that's how I got into acting. And then it was that that led me into acting. So I started taking some acting classes, and Pacino became, and Mamet became my very favorite author. So I was very influenced by David Mamet, and I was also very influenced by Neil Simon. So, you know, put them together, and it kind of reflects my play.
A bit of a winning combination there for you?
Well, we'll see. We'll see. This is a... This will tell the tale.
Yeah.
They're great. They're both amazing people.
A lot of your work comes from this sort of Jewish urban experience. What is your own perspective on that? Or what is that experience? How have you been exploring that through your work?
Well, I guess everybody writes about themselves. I mean, you know, this is why we have so many Christmas stories, because most of the people are Christian.
Hmm.
You know, I happen to be Jewish, so simply, and I happen to be an urban guy. And there's always, I find that my characters, there's always some reflection of myself in at least one of my characters. And it's for two reasons. One, I'm trying to save money on therapy. And the other reason is because I'm trying to save money on research. I mean, you know, I guess my characters are always a reflection of my own experience. And my experience is that of a Jewish guy who comes from Toronto. I've always liked city life and urban ways. I worked at the Colonial Tavern. I worked at the carnivals. And, you know, these things. I worked in a boiler room operation. So I've had some real life experiences that are of a very urban and a very Jewish nature.
Hmm.
And I've spent a lot of time studying Jewish practices as well. So, you know, just things that reflect my life.
Speaking of which, in your life, you've also been on both on and off stage considerably, writing your own theater and taking on a lot of acting roles as well. How does this multi-tiered sort of background inform your various efforts in theater and your various approaches?
Yeah, no, I think one really helps the other. You know, I mean, it's terrific. You got to put yourself in the shoes of the actors. I mean, as a writer, you got to be thinking about the actors.
Mm.
And so, you know, it was nice to have that experience. I wish it's all about the, you know, ultimately your writing goes away the better you are as a writer, the more your characters disappear, and it only becomes the actors and the characters that you've created. So that's what you want. So I think knowing what it means to act, you know, knowing about acting is going to help me as a writer.
Hmm.
And of course, acting helped me as a, writing, I don't know, but I think it's given me a sensitivity. I've only done one play since I really... really started jumping into the writing more than the acting.
Oh, okay.
I got pretty busy on the writing.
Okay.
But, I felt it helped me. I thought it helped me with, I did a Norm Foster play about 2 years ago. It's the last thing I did.
Hmm.
And I thought it helped me knowing more about the writing.
Yeah, so you've been behind the pen more than you've been on the stage.
Yeah, for the last for the last 4 or 5 years, I've really kind of been dedicated to the writing.
Okay. And I
thought it was difficult. I thought it was really difficult when you got, like, you know, my Jamaican Kanish has got 7 characters that you worried about. You know, 13 characters, but 7 characters play them. And I thought it was, like, hard, you know, to remember to know the lines of those 13 characters. And then you had to learn another 15 characters for the new play. You know, that would, you know, your head would get a little cluttered.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. That's a lot of people walking around in there.
That's a lot of people walking around in that brain.
Well, speaking of which, the production you're bringing to the Fundy Fringe Festival, it's called A Lesson in Gabby. How do you find it's come about in terms of, you know, being represented by the acting and the directing brought to bear and how it's been manifested?
Yeah, okay. So this play, it's a new play, and it's not brand new. It's had one informal reading with my community theater actor friends, and then it had an equity actor reading as well. You know, the readings are so helpful so that you can see where you have to make some changes, and thank God for the, you know, for support of friends that do this sort of thing. So I learned a lot about my product. Yeah. It's a brand new, it's brand new. Mm-hmm. I had the readings, but I've never done any dramaturgy on it.
Okay.
And then I've been working with a tremendous director, a man by the name of David Gale.
Mm-hmm.
And he's put together wonderful actors. I'm really impressed with them. Jason Weinberg and Ralph Smart. And, I've done some script work with them, and, you know, there's been a lot of work since the process began, and I'm very much looking forward to seeing what happens. I mean, I think it's just terrific what's happening with the script, and I love what I've seen from the actors so far. So I'm very, very, I'm looking forward to seeing this as you are.
Yeah.
Or as you should be anyways.
What's the play about?
It's a true story. It's a story that I think a lot of us won't be able to relate to.
Yeah?
It's a story about relationship. It mostly takes place about two friends that are getting together, with one of the friends having kind of being stuck in his way. He's definitely suffering from love addiction. Hasn't moved on for 5 years. He hears from his ex-wife, who he never wants to see again. As long as he lives, he doesn't care whether she's dead. She better not contact him. He tells him that she should go off to a convention in Los Angeles, in Las Vegas, a New Age convention in Las Vegas with these New Age prophets to see Doreen Virtue, an angel, a therapist, and this will be important to you.
Hmm.
You know, and the guy never wants to see her again, and he goes, and he gets in touch with the angels.
Hmm.
And it's kind of like, the guy's name is Groucho. Groucho becomes Halo, so he's a changed guy, and mostly about the relationship between him and his friend, Mel Volo.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's really a lot of fun. It's a very funny play, and it's about moving on. It's about, for me, it's about moving on and saying you're sorry.
Yeah.
And saying you're sorry, I think there is a lesson in Gabby, but I don't think it's preachy. You know, I really hope nobody feels that, because I really think if there is a lesson, of course there is one. I hope there is one, actually, in this case. Let me know if you feel preached to, because I really hope you don't.
I'll keep you posted, though.
Thank you.
Yeah. Do you have any other Fringe experience, or is this your first Fringe festival?
No, I've tried to get into the Fringe on a few occasions. I had a few plays that I tried to get up, but I never had the luck of the lottery.
Hmm.
And I just wanted to get this one off its feet. I had this really successful reaction to the play rating when we had it. And then I saw your ad, and I just said, okay, like, let's jump in and do this.
Excellent.
And I'm glad. So far, I'm really glad that I'm moving along in this direction. I'm really excited about going up to New Brunswick again.
Have you been here before?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Such a fantastic trip. But I drove with my son about 6 years ago from Toronto. We went up, you know, all the way across, you know, all the way through to, we went up in Newfoundland at the end. So it was Cape Breton, and then we took the ferry. And I remember so much of it. And it was kind of like that, I don't know if you remember that movie Sideways.
Oh, where, yeah.
You know, those guys were going around and having wine everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, we were having beer everywhere, you know?
Yeah, that's a very good trip, then.
It was a great trip, man. I really had a great time.
Oh, it sounds like you definitely sampled the Maritimes, then. Yeah.
Well, you know, between lobster and beer, and great people, really, really nice people. Nice. I really had a lovely, lovely time.
Oh, excellent. Well, I
didn't know how beautiful Canada was until I took that trip.
Oh, that's great. No, we'll look forward to having you back here there at the end of August.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. I'm very much looking forward to coming.
Very good. Well, thanks.
And like, we're bringing some nice people. You know, the actors are going to be we're all looking forward to coming. There's a few Toronto friends that are coming. So, good luck to you. Good luck to you with this effort.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thanks a lot. This has been Labe Kagan. Who is bringing his production of A Lesson in Gabby to the Fundy Fringe Festival this August. Thank you.
Thanks, Jed. Thank you, Jed. We look forward to being there.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
They're gonna put me in the movies. They're gonna make a big star out of me. We'll make a film about a man that's sad and lonely, and all I gotta do is act naturally. Well, I'll bet you I'm gonna be a big star. Might win an Oscar, you can't never tell. The movie's gonna make me a big star, 'cause I can play the part so well. Well, I hope you come to see me in the movie. Then I know that you will plainly see the biggest fool that's ever hit the big time. And all I gotta do is act naturally. About a man that's sad and lonely, and begging down upon his bended knees. I'll play the part, but I won't need rehearsing. All I'll have to do is act naturally. Well, I'll bet you I'm gonna be a big star. Might win an Oscar, you can't never tell. Movie's gonna make me a big star, 'cause I can play the part so well. Well, I hope you come see me in the movie, and then I know that you will plainly see the biggest fool that's ever hit the big time. And all I gotta do is act naturally.
Going out by request to Theater Narcissus 12's own Tim Turnell, that was Buck Owen and the Buckaroos with Act Naturally. Watch for a feature-length conversation with Tim coming up later in the series. And meanwhile, let's go now to the second half of our talk with Word of Mouth Theater Company's Evan McKay and Sean Patterson about their production Father Hero Traitor Son. Before that, however, we make another stop by a certain prison cell in the fictional nation of Ozerland.
What's going to happen to me, Father? You must know something.
You want good news or bad news?
Tell me good news.
Your appeal will be granted. You were born in Canada, British subject. British subject cannot be tried for war crimes.
I'm going to live? Am I free? Am I going back to Canada?
I tell you bad news. New trial. Not only war criminals hang, they hang traitors too.
You can influence them. You can change their minds. You can do that, can't you? You can do anything. Make them see that my situation was... Make them understand. Make them admit they understand.
You chose action. They choose verdict.
Help your son. Do it. You put me here on this earth. You put me in this obsolete country.
You put yourself in this jail cell.
I did what I was told to do. I followed orders. I did my job. I behaved myself like the good little soldier you raised me to be.
Responsibility! I teach you responsibility, not murder. I teach you duty, not blindness.
You're the blind one. Aren't you a ghost or something? Can't you see everything?
You did what you did. You were there, you saw. You felt bones break under your boot. You heard screams. You caused screaming, pain, agony. Why didn't you stop?
I had no choice.
You made a choice. Every action was your choice. You chose bad. You chose wrong. You chose evil. Why you cause suffering and death? Why you choose such things? Why you shame yourself? Why you dishonor me? Why
shut up, old man! Or I'll shut you up.
Would you strike your father?
Would you hang your son?
In chatting with you by email up to this point too, it was interesting to note the great enthusiasm for there being a Fringe Festival here, and you almost kind of half predicted that this could be a thing.
That's right. The crystal ball.
You mentioned you were in town.
Yeah.
In the wintertime.
Yeah.
And someone had mentioned to you that, or you were saying that it would be great to do something here or have something.
I thought I had an original idea. I didn't know about the St. John Theatre Company's festival that they had been running before, the Theater on the Edge.
Yeah.
And I didn't know about that. I've been away for more than a decade, and I come back occasionally, and so in the winter I was here for a few months and writing, and I wasn't watching the news. I didn't hear anything about the Fringe Festival, and I thought to myself, I wonder if I could put on a play here. And I read about Sanctuary Theater. I thought, well, I'd like to put it on there.
Yeah.
And then I thought, I wonder if I could get other people and we could do a Fringe Festival. I thought, that's never going to happen. There just aren't enough people. Went back to Toronto, sit down. I applied to the Toronto Fringe and didn't get in. There are hundreds of applicants there.
Oh, yeah.
And a friend of mine from our show last year said, are you going to be in the one in St. John? What are you talking about? So it's a little bit weird to be coming from Toronto to do theater on the East Coast. It's kind of like leaving California and coming to St. John to look for gold. It just seems the wrong direction. It's working really well.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm really excited about this.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fantastic. Anything like that, you know, in the city, you know, brings us to a different level, I think, culturally, artistically. You know, there's so many talented people in New Brunswick, and I'm... You know, I know the St. John Theatre Company had the Festival on the Edge for quite a while, I think. Mm-hmm. But
and we have so many theaters here. I'm amazed.
Yeah, I think it's going to be. I think it's great. I'm excited. Like I said, when I first got an email, I really had no idea what you wanted, what we were going to do, and as soon as we sat down and started talking, it just, I mean, got my blood flowing, and I'm very excited about it. Actually, I think it's going to be great.
How do you think that will be received by local theater goers, maybe who have never seen this kind of theater in St. John before?
I have never spent enough money on theater. I always say, oh, I can't afford that crap. And so I think to be able to see such a wide variety of shows for less than it costs to go to a movie, that is a really good thing.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think in total, basically, if you wanted to see every show, which is great that it's spread out in a 5-day period, that, you know, really for $80, $70 or $80, you're going to be able to see everything.
Yeah.
Whereas if you were in a bigger city, you know, $80 might only get you 2 shows or you know, 3 shows or something. I'm not sure the prices or whatever, but I think it's
going to
be... Yeah,
one.
Exactly. Yeah.
By yourself.
So I think it's going to be great. And like I said, there's definitely a theater audience in St. John. Mm. And, you know, it's been part of kind of, in a way, an underground culture for a long time, but it's a very close-knit community as well. And I think that the support, I think, will be great.
I think something that's really important about the Fringe is that it's not, if you talk about the theater crowd, you have to actually pronounce it in a British way, the theater crowd, you know. And Fringe isn't for a theater crowd. Fringe is for people who want something to do. They want to see something. Mm-hmm. Let's go out. And so yeah, there's sketch. There's
it's like those little sample shows. Trays you get at Costco.
Yeah, kind of like that. And so you know the old story. There's something for everybody. It's you can't go wrong. And even if you do, it's $10. Okay. You know. So
you've attended and performed in Fringes previously.
Yeah.
Have both of you or?
I have not actually. I've been my history. I started in theater with Evan and at KV. We were high school musicals. As Evan said, he's a couple years older than I am, I believe. But his brother Fraser is my age. I think Fraser actually is a year younger than I am. But I've known the family, and we've been involved with theater from KV into the KV Players. Then I went on to do film. I was in film and television for 18 years as an assistant director. So I got away from that, from the theater part of it. Then it just, I've always wanted to get back into acting, and I think being on stage gives me more of an opportunity to do that. And I really haven't, I've done, I think, one play in the past 4 years. So, and before that, I hadn't been in a play for probably 12 years. So, I'm really excited about getting back, and that's why my blood is pumping, and so I hope I can still remember lines. And
I hope so too. Hope the memory hasn't gone. But and another thing that's great about working with Sean is that we're two actors, but I've got a crew of like five, because he just knows how to do stuff. He knows where things are. The car keys and everything. Who's going to do this? Don't worry, I've got someone. It's just, he's great that way. I'm pretty lazy. I just write a play and the rest is his problem.
I basically told him that I'll try, for right now, I'll try to get everything together, get some maybe more media and stuff, and then deal with the theater and let him concentrate on the script right now. So.
See, there's a good natural chemistry between you in terms of working together.
And the funny thing is Evan mentioned who was going to direct it, and I kind of said to him, I think that, you know, he mentioned that, you know, he was told that no writer should ever direct their own production.
Because you miss...
For many reasons.
Because you don't understand yourself.
Exactly.
But so basically, I'm directing him and he's directing me. That's exactly what we're going to do.
So it's cool. Kind of a co-production. Okay. And I think we know each other well enough, and I think that we can, you know, I think we'll listen to each other. I don't think we'll have too many arguments. So.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's going to work out great, actually.
Has there been a certain performance you've been in, or perhaps a performance you've seen that has really stood out as a great Fringe moment that you could share?
I think my performance really stood out as a great Fringe moment. I've applied to many Fringes, starting with the Atlantic Fringe Festival many years ago, but the only time I've been in a Fringe show was last summer.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, and that was crazy. I actually didn't see any other Fringe shows. I always meant to, but I was too busy, you know, signing autographs. And if I could mention the show, if, in case it gets a revival, Eat, Poo, Love, about a friend of mine who had colon cancer and survived. It's a comedy about cancer.
Yeah.
I played the role of the singing tumor, like everyone does. And I got to sing a Broadway-style song, and I did that backwards. I did a martial arts scene and followed that with a Broadway-style song. That was a good moment.
Do you guys have any parting thoughts you want to share about your own work? Or
something I'm really excited about with this Fringe Festival is, since it's new, I can probably go see most of the other shows, I hope, which normally is not an option. It's very low tech, but we have a fledgling website, Father, Hero, Traitor, Son, at wordpress.com, and we're going to try and put some material on there for anyone who wants to follow that. And we're also going to do it old style, actual paper posters on walls, that kind of stuff. Nice. So keep an eye out for us.
I'm looking forward to seeing how the other performers come together with, you know, in the film industry, you're on a set for a month and a half, 2 months. You meet all these people. Mm. You become friends instantly. Yeah. You know, and then when you leave, you have friends for life, you know, sort of deal. So I'm interesting to see whether that happens with this, which I think it will. I can see us having a lot of great contacts after this.
Yeah, I hope.
And hopefully a lot of good friends, too.
I hope groups will have a lot of interaction with each other. I'm not much of a tech person, but I'm already in Twitter contact with Dead Sheep Scrolls and Funny Daddy from Sussex.
I spoke with both of those fellows this afternoon, actually.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. And so I'm hoping that we can all get together and criticize and condemn each other right into the dirt. That's my hope.
Yep.
Great. Well, thanks so much, guys, for joining me for a few minutes today. And
good fun.
And we'll look forward to seeing the production in August.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks to today's guests, Sean Patterson and Evan McKay of Word of Mouth Theatre Company, Don't Panic Theatre Company's Alain LaFrance, and playwright Labe Kagan. I've been your host, Judd Crandall. New Brunswick's inaugural Fundy Fringe Festival takes place August 21st through 25th, right here in Uptown St. John. Please visit FundyFringeFestival.com for more information on performers, scheduling, tickets, and how to volunteer. Fringe Power music is by the Kingpins. Find Fringe Power on Facebook for podcasts and more. Fringe Power broadcasts weekly, Mondays at 6 p.m., Thursdays at 7 p.m., and Sundays at 1 p.m. during August 2013 on Local 107.3 FM and online at localfm.ca.